Wednesday 5:21-25, we're going to do grace part 6. This is the dispensation of grace we're going to look at today. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 16 and 17 there. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. We're going to look at four scriptures right quick that have three other scriptures that have that word dispensation in them. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10. Says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now think about that. He's going to gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, given in him. Okay, now to go to Colossians 1, 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, which I at 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay. That right there, dispensation, is an administration of a household or an estate, specifically a religious economy or a stewardship. This is the kingdom of God. He's going to gather together those in heaven, unite them with these on the earth when he comes, and it's going to be the kingdom of God. All right, Ephesians. The Ephesians prayers, when I was looking at this, took on a different meaning. I believe these Ephesians prayers is to bring us into that awareness that I just read to you, the dispensation, grace. The kingdom of God. Ephesians 1, we're going to start with verse 1 there. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I always said grace. You know, you brought that up weeks ago, that everything that he said was grace be unto you. That was the greeting, grace be unto you. It's kind of like, hey, grace be unto you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of this grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein it abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, with which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. It's back to the Garden of Eden. That's always been God's plan, because it was the kingdom of God. This has always been God's plan for man. That's why he sent Jesus. All the things he went through in the Old Testament and the temple and all of that, God didn't want that. God wanted them to learn to trust him, walk by faith. But they just couldn't do it. It just wasn't in them to do it. It's what God is returning us to, and Jesus ushered it in for us. Jesus taught about the kingdom of God. That was what he taught. He taught the kingdom of God. He taught in parables so that those that needed to get it would get it, and those who didn't wouldn't. Okay. This has always been the plan in God's creation for man, the garden. There are no longer temples made with hands, but temples that God indwells. This is why God sent his son. In Genesis 3:8, just a little portion there of that scripture says, they heard the Lord God walking in the garden. They communicated spirit to spirit. God's a spirit. Adam in a spiritual state before his fall, he heard the Lord God walking in the garden. Let's go to Ephesians 3. Start with 14 there. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He doesn't put a division between us, does he? That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Why did he send Jesus? Because he lost contact with his man. And the only contact he had was in a box. And the priest could go in once a year. That's it. He had no contact with this man. None. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. That can only come from the inside, from God. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The world is about to see what the world has never seen before. The manifestation of the sons of God. Like Adam walking in the garden. Now we know what these prayers are all about. It's to revive this. This is why he came. It's this. Reconnecting with his man. Right here. Not institutions. He hated it. He hated the blood of bulls and goats. Said he got fed up with it. He didn't want it. But that's the closest he could get to a fallen man. Colossians 1. start with 9 there. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power and all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. He's not talking about building natural muscles. He's talking about from the inside. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This is all about the inner man. You know what? The things that have been done God's way, there will never be religious institutions anymore. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's kind of like Doc in Back to the Future. Roads, where we're going, we don't need roads. Well, where we're going, we don't need spiritualized institutions. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We're mobile. We're on wheels. Okay. 15, let's start with 20 there. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be you children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. This is 14. Sorry, it's 15. I'll just keep going here. Sorry. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, and even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith, all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Paul, this was his ministry. I understand why he got the prayers that he did for the body of Christ. But it's always been the inside walk that God wanted, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you. All right, we're going to keep going with scriptures. This is Galatians chapter 3. Father will set in order just like it was in the beginning. That is what this dispensation of grace is all about. Setting everything decently and in order. It was out of order in the garden. What happened? The man sinned. He fell. Satan took over, became the god of this world system. Galatians 3. Man fell under the curse. Galatians 3, start with 13 there of Galatians 3. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth it or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore, then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed could come to whom the promise was made, and was ordained by angels the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise of by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. We're now the children of God. 26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I understand why Paul always talked about grace. It was in his speech. All of his letters begin with that. It's all about the grace of God, what he did. Ephesians, I think we read that all ago. We'll write it down again. Ephesians 1, 2. Yeah, it's because that's how he addressed his letters right here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. God is grace. Grace came through Jesus Christ, or by Jesus Christ. Paul had a revelation of the mystery of Christ. The traditional church is just like the world, just wanting a handout. Needy and desperate. They just want to go to heaven. Heaven is not a welfare state where God just takes care of us, but God's plan is for us to reign here, heaven in the earth. Religious traditions were a snare when Jesus was here, and it is no different today. It is truth upending traditions. That's what the grace of God will. It will upend religious traditions. We do not walk by traditions of the elders, but by grace. Okay, Ephesians 2:8. I might have read that already, but I guess I'll read it again. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. John chapter 1. Verse 17. For the law, that's what I quoted a while ago, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Okay, Matthew chapter 15. Speaking of religious tradition. See, Jesus came teaching the kingdom of God. And the religious leaders of his day couldn't hack it. There's a couple that he won over. Only a couple that I really think about. One of them was, Joseph of Arimathea. Is that the one? And what was the other one? Came to him in secret. Nicodemus. Yeah, Nicodemus. But really, for the most part, the elders, they held the traditions. They missed the boat. Total. Okay, Matthew 15. You there? Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgressed the traditions of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father and mother, It is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. I tell you what, that'd rip a lot of people up today. Just that statement alone. It ripped him up in Jesus' day too. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? We might as well get ready for it. We're going to upend some theology and they're not going to like it. But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. There is no room in a Christian's life for the traditions of men. Not if you're following Jesus. There's no room. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Sometimes it takes years to get it rooted up, doesn't it? Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatsoever goeth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? All this stuff is making me sick. Really? But those things which proceed, we're spending, I don't know how much they're spending just on trying to take all the dyes and things out of our food. That's fine. It'll taste better. But what they don't understand is what you believe about it. Oh, this stuff is killing me. And you hear it on the media 24/7. Yeah. You know, the chemtrails are spreading. You know, you can do a blood test and see all these metals in your blood and it's killing you. All this stuff. If that's what you decide to follow, people believe it. They believe it. And they die. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. It's what you believe about it. It's not even the substance, because he said you could drink any dead anything, it would not hurt you. Right? For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man. See, in the kingdom of God, you don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be worried about anything. We're told not to worry ever about anything. And you know, I was reflecting today about, you know, I said earlier about the things that the Lord has spoken to me about a certain situation. And it's kind of like I had, you know, something will happen and I'll think, he's not saying anything. I guess it must not be too important. Because if it was important, he'd let me know, right? Okay, let's keep going here. Luke 17. Sometimes we just need a refresher on what we already know. Those little bears up there, Care Bears. Don't be a Care Bear. Don't be. Luke 17:20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. It's not in pretty buildings and nice choirs and pretty dramas and neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. It's in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. John, I just read John to you. I read Matthew. John, this is John 15. The whole purpose of Jesus coming is the kingdom of God, that God could get back from the devil legally what he took from the man he built, he made in the first place to rule and reign. That's all it was about. Okay, John 15, verse 1. I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it bring forth more fruit. How? Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You know, I think about that, and I think it's all in him. He's got it covered. If you abide in him, if you're listening to God inside of you, you can't go wrong. You can't fail. He's going to let you know if you need to do something about anything. As much as we pray in the Spirit, we got a hot word of heaven. If we need to know something, he'll let us know. And sometimes he'll tell you the stuff that doesn't seem to really matter. The epistles are about learning to walk from the inside out. This is the mystery. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not about all these outward acts that you can do, all these hours you spend doing this and doing that, trying to make yourself better, trying to hear from God and all these things. Just pray in the Spirit. Quit wearing yourself out. Well, I guess I ought to be doing this. You know, Brother Hagin told me I ought to do this. Or whoever. If God don't say it, you got to be like, oop. He said, I don't do nothing lest God says. That's the way we need to be. Because anything else is religious. If you're following Brother Hagin did or Brother Capps, and they're great. I loved them. I think they were great. But if you're following them and you're not following God, then you miss the mark. Boy, we all might ought to have a book burning around here. Okay. 2 Corinthians 3. If you're looking to the books of others instead of the Word of God, well, I don't have to say any more about that. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 6. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Fresh off the hot wire. Light be, light was. Like I said, we can go read their confessions and what they did and not get the results they got. All this is training for reigning. Training for reigning. For what? The kingdom of God is coming. It's in you. It's fixed to come out of you, though, in a way it never has before. Because we're finally getting it. We're finally abandoning these religious institutions and all these little mantras we go through Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning. And tapping into where the real source is on the inside. This is the dispensation of grace. Will we be good stewards of it? You know, if we spend more time reading other people's books and doing what they said do, like I said, we missed the mark. We got to get God's plan for us. We've got to do what He tells us to do. And that's on that fleshly table of the heart, written by the Spirit and not by the letter. Okay, two more scriptures. Romans 4. You know, we really don't have to work it, do we? Whatever He says to you, do it. That's all you have to do. You got to work it not working. You have to work it not making a work of things. That's, yeah. Okay, 4:16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. A few rose above it, even under the old covenant. They walked by faith. They believed God. They're the Faith Hall of Famers. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That'll do it. Wait a minute. Let me finish. There's another part. Start at 12 there. Verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also as the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That if sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay.